from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, welcome in our good friend Taryn Walk as she covers the Atlanta Falcons for the team and the website. Taryn, first of all, do you have your sunscreen, bathing suits, everything packed for a lovely trip to Miami?
Actually, I do not. I will start laundry after this.
Well, you know what? That's what Sundays, I always say, are for cleaning, food shopping, and laundry. And if you're doing anything else on a Sunday, you're doing it wrong. All right. So tell me about the biggest headlines you've seen so far from Falcons camp in terms of, let's start with the offense and what Kirk Cousins has looked like as QB1.
I mean, you said his name. I was going to go straight there with Kirk Cousins. He has been very accurate and showing exactly why the Falcons brought him in at the price that they did. They need someone who's going to hit their targets. He doesn't necessarily have to be the flashiest quarterback. He doesn't have to be a Patrick Mahomes, a Tua Tagovailoa, or anyone out there who's just chucking dimes. He just needs to be accurate. He needs to get the job done, and that's exactly what we're seeing. I mean, just this past Friday, he maybe had 2 or 3 incompletions out of 20 pass attempts. We went back and forth afterward before we recorded our post-practice podcast, available on the Falcons podcast network. But it was like, okay, was it 2 or was it 3? And we went back and forth for like 15 minutes counting up like our notes and whatnot. We're like, wait a minute, why? The point is, he was very accurate. Here we are nickel and diming whether he had 2 or 3 incompletions, but that alone says enough about his accuracy.
Without disparaging anyone else who's put on a Falcons uniform, I will just say, Taryn, from last year's training camp to this, let's just call it a stark contrast from one year to the next in terms of everything you just described. In terms of the running game, it looks like both Bijan and Tyler Allgeier getting plenty of work in the backfield, Bijan specifically. It looks like the offense is setting up to have a really nice balance between everything you just talked about with Kirk and then the run game.
Yes, for sure. I mean, it helps that the starting offensive line from last year is all back. That continuity is key in getting the run game established, not only early in a game, but early into the season. Like, because of that, there's not going to be any, like, working out the kinks week 1, week 2, week 3. They should come out of the gate being able to run the ball, because they even have the same position coach and Dwayne Ledford. So the run game is probably the most consistent thing that has carried over from last year to this year, and that's not necessarily a bad thing considering Bijan Robinson is a first-round draft pick who we saw how good he can be, but I think he can be even better under this new offense.
Sounds like Drake London really had a breakout performance at the practice. I was joking around, Taryn, with everyone else I've been talking to. We were actually right on the field in the Maybach suite, but I couldn't see a damn thing because that's where all the offensive linemen were standing right in front of us. So I was literally watching practice from the big board up top because we couldn't see. So tell us about that big catch, or a couple of big catches, actually, from Kirk to Drake and just how special that connection could be.
I'm sure you're talking about the one that came during 11-on-11 with the first team offense versus the first team defense when Kirk hit Drake deep down the sideline. You had A.J. Terrell in coverage, and it was close, but Drake brought the ball in and kept control of it, and that was probably the highlight play of the evening. I'm excited to see this connection between Drake and Kirk grow and what it means for the passing game. I think Darnell Mooney is another good asset to have in the passing game. Him and Drake, I think, complement each other well. And I don't know that we saw his full potential with the Chicago Bears. So I'm curious to see what he's able to do now in this offense, especially when the two are running alongside each other.
Talking with Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. Make sure you check out her work there, both digitally and on the written word. All right, when it comes to the defense, I think obviously that's where a lot of the question marks were coming into the preseason. Let's start with the defensive line. A lot of new faces, a lot of new draft picks. Who has stood out to you early in camp?
Braylon Trice has really stood out for me. I know he's not defensive line technically, but when it comes to being on the defense as an outside linebacker, he has been getting the most first-team reps as a rookie among all the first-year players. And he's just getting better and better with the more opportunities he gets, which is impressive. I'm very curious to see how many defensive linemen the Falcons do keep because there are so many options, strong ones at that. And I know Raheem Morris said in his pre-practice press conference that they likely will keep more than they usually do. And so when that 53-man roster comes out, best believe I will be comparing numbers from years past to see if indeed they kept more linemen than they usually have. But
no, go ahead.
It's a strong group. No, yeah, it's just such a strong group. I'm curious about who the second starting cornerback is going to be. I'm curious who the second starting safety is going to be. Like, there's competition for both of those roles, but it's not like there's a bad option.
Speaking of which, it sounded like one of those candidates for safety, DeMarco Helms, really made a little bit of a name for himself in that open practice. He put a hit on somebody that seemed like the offense wasn't too fond of.
Yeah, oops, but they're finally able to make contact and whatnot. You don't necessarily want that player, like teammate on teammate, to hit so hard, but sometimes you get excited under the lights. I don't know. I'm not exactly excusing it, but I can also understand the adrenaline kicked in and muscle memory went for a full hit.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with a player like that who's trying to make a name for himself and, as you said, potentially earn a starting spot on the roster. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the CB2 battle. I find it interesting because both Mike Hughes and Clark Phillips have played pretty well so far. I know Jimmy Lake came out and was talking about earlier this week about why Mike Hughes is getting the first team reps. Do you feel like Hughes really has that distinctive edge, or do you think this is going to be something that comes down to the wire?
Oh, I think this is going to be something that not only comes down to the wire, but goes into the season. I understand why Jimmy Lake is giving Mike Hughes the nod. He is a veteran. He has earned those reps, and that's, I think, exactly how he phrased it. But Clark Phillips is making himself known. It's a really good battle for that position, and they're only making each other better by having such strong efforts on both sides. I don't think it's going to be like, okay, he's the starting cornerback. That's going to be the same thing all the way through the season. I think it can change. I think you even saw that last year. So there's not necessarily one in my book who has a hard edge over the other.
When it comes to the linebacker room, it's almost a glut of riches, Taryn. You got guys coming in making names for themselves last year, like Nate Landman. You got Troy Anderson coming back. How do you envision the rotation going there with, you know, four, maybe even five guys with J.D. Bertrand coming on strong as a rookie to make an impact?
Yeah, Raheem Morris has said multiple times that the inside linebacker group is a good problem to have. They have so much depth there. It's a good problem. I know, like, we've been taking count of, like, Nate Landman is getting the starting rep next to Caden Ellis. Oh, now Troy Anderson is getting the starting rep next to Caden Ellis. But it's just a constant rotation. that this is another thing where I don't think one has a leg up on another, but I do think it'll be a constant rotation in the season too. I personally would love to see all three on the field at the same time. I know they've hinted at getting creative in that way. We haven't seen it yet, but I would love to see that because they all are so talented. And you mentioned J.D. Bertrand. His name was said multiple times during Friday's practice of getting in the backfield and possibly making a sack and whatnot. Obviously, you can't actually see the quarterback go down during these situations because they're still in their non-contact jersey. But credit, give credit where credit is due, even if it wasn't the full play.
All right, let's look ahead now to Miami. Obviously, the preseason game will be on Friday, but all eyes are going to be on the joint practices that are taking place. What are some of the biggest matchups you're looking forward to see in terms of Falcons and Dolphins?
Gosh, and of course it'll be interesting to see the secondary against the Dolphins receivers. They're so fast, and I'm really curious how the Falcons secondary will hold up against them. But that will be something I'm watching just out of, like, pure joy and entertainment. Jesse Bates should never be underestimated. Same thing with A.J. Terrell. But I think that will also help those secondary, like, battles when it comes to DeMarco Helms, Richie Grant, Clark Phillips, or Mike Hughes. Like, putting them up against some really great receivers will show where they stand in that regard, too. Not that the Falcons don't have great receivers, but it's always different when it's competition.
You think Michael Penix is going to get a lot of run with the ones this week? I'm curious to see how they monitor Kirk against some live reps.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, too. We did see Kirk get, like, on the ground Friday, and I think everyone kind of, like, held their breath for a hot second. But honestly, for me, and I know that people don't want him to get hit to be safe, but the more he is tested, the more he is a little scuffed up here and there, not fully taken down, the less worried I am about his injury, if that makes sense. Like, okay, that's reassuring that, like, he can do this, and he's not even thinking about it. You can't see him hesitating on his legs. Like, he seems fine. He was working off to the side, I noticed, when the Falcons were working on punts during the open practice, and he's doing different agilities. He's making cuts. He's working with, like, a trainer one-on-one, and he's giving it his all. So I think putting him in a live situation where he can get hit by someone who wouldn't get reprimanded in the same locker room, like, it'll be interesting. And I don't know that they'll throw him into the fire in such a way, but I think it would be a confidence boost for him to know, hey, I've got this.
Before I let you go, as we're wrapping up with Taryn Walk of Falcons.com, make sure you check out all her stuff there. She'll be keeping us all posted about what's going down in Miami. I've been asking everybody this from the Falcons that I've had on, beat reporters and our friends, writers, etc. How much do you know about how much they're working on this new kickoff rule? Because I know we saw it day one in practice, but I haven't really seen much of it since.
Yeah, we haven't seen much of it since, which I do find interesting, but I am so excited about it. I have asked about it. I want to be a part of it. Like, I want to know everything that's going on because it's so different. I think it's going to completely change the dynamics of the game, possibly. The point is to make the play matter again, and I think it will. I'm really curious to see what feedback is after this game. I know Raheem Morris mentioned the Hall of Fame game and how he was watching the kickoff there. So it's just like learning and taking it one game at a time, one practice at a time, until they can figure out, like, okay, we got the basics, now we can get creative. All right. So I will definitely have my eyes on that.
All right, Taryn, appreciate the time. As always, again, we'll be checking you out all week long down in Miami. And if you're at Flowery Branch tomorrow, we'll see you bright and early.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.